With me right now, I have Eloise Charest. Eloise, come on, we have to do a speaker check. Okay, talking to that green one, say hi.
Hi.
Yeah, woohoo. Everything's working. So, I don't know, like, why don't you just tell us about what happened up on the road? Like, there's so few people these days going up into the old and protecting the old growth, and like, I don't know, it seems just so far away, and some people just don't make it up there, but you've been up there, and so we gotta hear what's going on up there. Like, we need a voice of the land up there, a voice of the spirit up there. Like, what's going on?
Just before departing, I had given a speech at Coots Roots in Weimar, and I had mentioned how the rainbows appeared every time we would stand on the road, every time we would do something, whether it was the herbicide spraying, where there was a double rainbow coming out of jail, there was a triple rainbow. Just uncanny how it seems to be always there as a symbol. So just soon after that, very soon after, I got word from Tom Pryor that it looked like they were going in to punch a road through, which is 4 kilometers up Boyd Creek. And people couldn't make it out right away, and people had been visiting all summer. And I thought I would save myself if it went down. And so I was able to get the help of my people who live right next to me, Yvonne and her two daughters came and drove me all the way up to the Encomaplu. And as we were crossing the canyon, an eagle flew, and he's almost like the guardian of the canyon. And Yvonne had stopped. She was like, I can't go, it's so scary. And she finally did drive through, but it's a very narrow gorge, and it opens up to this Tolkien-esque kind of scenery where it has been so, I don't know, molested would be an appropriate word, clear cut for 30 kilometers everywhere, right down to the river of the Encomaplu, right into the water. You can see these massive stumps, and it has so disturbed all the fish spawning grounds. It's called also the Fish River. And then as you go up, eventually we put a road camp up, and it was raining. It's the only inland temperate rainforest on Earth. There was no other. It's an amazing place. As soon as you can get beyond the clear cuts to what's left there, and you just go into old growth, it's huge, huge cedar trees like temples. The moss is a foot thick. You can sleep on the moss. It's just like a bed. And two doctors brought their children up to visit. And one of the women said, I can breathe, she said. I can breathe in this forest. The children were so fascinated. There's a spring that bubbles up like a sacred spring through the moss. It's you know, just something beyond this world. Place that time forgot until someone decided that they had to cut all these trees for pulp, which is worth barely anything. Toilet paper, shopping bags, nothing much more than that. You know, one logging truck would take a whole tree for one logging truck going out of there. And so that whole area down by the water where there's still old growth, and there's unusual rock formations, all different kind of thing, that going all the way up to Battle Creek into, I think they call it the Battle Range, all the way to the Westfall, is really the last terrain for the caribou that have been so hunted, destroyed by the, when they put the railway in, that's what they fed the people, the men there, was all caribou meat, just massive slaughters and waste of meat. And, you know, we should try and give them a chance to recover. And it's not by clear-cutting. We have to put a stop to clear-cutting because it is so destructive. When you're standing in that type of forest, you really realize you can plant a tree, but you can't plant a forest.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I just, it's so, like, how many of you were on the blockade?
There was just, well, the first day we're there, and all we could do that night, because it got late, we were looking for a campsite, was set ourselves up with a tarp over part of the van into a lower kind of place where we were a little protected from the elements. And we all slept together that night, all head to foot.
Yeah.
And I got up early in the morning and got the fire going, hot water and that. Then I saw that the trucks drive up, and it's very deceiving because it's on Boyd Creek, and it's so noisy you can't hear them till they're right there. And so I ran up to the bridge, and they must have been shocked to see a woman in her nightdress, you know, in slippers, curlers in her hair,
for
you know,
real?
Almost, yeah, but standing there like their wife, yeah. You're not going through trying to stretch my arms to cover a wide range, but somehow he had gone beside me, and I went in front of the car, and I felt like it didn't look like they had any kind of equipment, that they were just figuring out the road and different things. So I was caught because they were already over the bridge on the other side, and they had taken my ropes down and that. So I felt, well, they'll be going out. At least they have the warning now.
Yeah.
So the next day, we let them out and you know, and had conversations and everything about it, and trying to discuss the fact that, you know, you can't clear cut anymore. We have to slow down and make smaller roads, lesser equipment and machinery, and develop our secondary industry, because there literally is no future left in that type of forestry. That is just a holocaust, you know, and also for our future loggers. And I'm really worried. When I first went in, they were going to go on difficult to maybe winter logging and that. And that's like very, very treacherous terrain, you know, because it's getting there, getting more isolated in more difficult areas. And we're seeing a lot more deaths and casualties because of it. Anyway, so blocked the road. And then Henry arrived. And he's Swiss-Canadian. He's been here for over 40 years, has kayaked tremendous rivers and areas, just loves it, loves nature, hunts and different things. And after leaving Switzerland, for him, this is what he came for, was life itself. And to see this old growth cut, so he felt just as strong as I did. So the two of us ended up being like two old farts sitting on the bridge. We should have each had a rocking chair or something. And Tom and Sarah came to join us from here and spent the weekend. And we also had Patrick would come and visit from the hostel. And he was very helpful and encouraging. And so day by day, you know, they come and they show up, and they'd go up to the bridge and ask Henry, well, are you going to open the road today? And that he'd say, oh, not today, you know. And so nice. They just leave. And we had Boss the dog, and he would spend his time licking everybody's hand and everybody petting him, and he was the greatest diplomat of all.
Yeah.
And discussions again with the loggers and road builders about how we feel, and that this is, you know, a very important place, sacred land. There was a group of young children that visited, and one young boy came out saying, you know, Cairo, I mean, Egypt has its monuments, the pyramids, and why can't we have ours, these trees? And there's so few left. And into the battle range as well, there's some of the, you know, 2,000-year-old trees. And then we have this unusual moss and lichen and all kinds of things that have been, you know, not yet discovered, because this has been, you know, quite isolated from everywhere. And it's being attacked on both sides, the Westfall as well as the Nkomaplu. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
So they got the injunction and then
they came up and first served us papers, and young Constable Owen and everything kind of concerned, not too sure what he was going to find. And then after that, they came up two policemen and a server and Pope and Talbot to serve us the injunction papers. And I always say I'd rather have my trees back. And, you know, we had a great conversation, and one of the constables says, well, when I called Nelson and they found out you were up here, Eloise, he says, oh, I'm not worried too much. It'll be pretty...
No security risk.
That's right, exactly. So eventually they came with the injunction, and we were really discouraged. It was only Henry and I, and we had Roland, who would come and eat at where we had the teepee and our fire pit and everything. And he was from Switzerland visiting. We had people from all over the world visiting, really concerned. Anyways, he came to film because no one was there. And they would ask him, who are you? Like Mr. X in a way. And he'd say, I am Roland from Switzerland. I have come here to learn English. And they're like, oh my God, what's up here, you know? And anyway, so Henry and I felt, well, we just haven't got enough attention. We need, you know, world attention to a place like this. This is such an unusual, special place on Earth, and we can't let it go like this. So we pulled aside and thought we have to try to start a campaign to boycott the cutting of old growth right across the world, because there's so little trees left. I know that over 3/4 of the trees of the earth have been cut. Anyway, so we're all depressed, and, you know, it's Sergeant Little that was there when he saw me. Oh, hi, Eloise, and big hugs from all of them. It was like the home fries, and they were all, there was like, I don't know, 7 policemen to come and arrest Henry and I. And when they said to us, it's only you two, and we said, we're sorry, we wish there was more, you know.
Sorry to disappoint you.
I know. But anyways, I went into the teepee, and all of a sudden I see all these faces peeping in, and it's all the constables wanting to come in. They're all sitting in the teepee. This is so cool, and everything, and very sympathetic. All the people on the lower levels were sympathetic. What, I don't know how to say lower levels, but people who could at least speak in it without worrying about if someone's watching them or something, speak from their hearts. We're very sympathetic to the cause. Everybody who visited there, from the hostel to the different policemen to the road builders and that, wanted to bring their children to show them
cool.
how beautiful it was.
What about, didn't a rainbow pop out at some point?
When they presented the injunction that day, and we were like depressed because we knew our time, you know, we'd been there 2 weeks. And all of a sudden there was another rainbow, and I had just been talking about that. And I called out, it's a sign, it's a sign. And they're all looking at me, my goodness, you know, you with all your, you know, intuitive and, you know, this and Inukshuk's up and all the prayers and running with my sage, you know, praying to the Great Spirit and setting up the teepee with prayers, different things like that. And, but everybody took it, you know, because it was so impressive. Part of the rainbow, the lower part, came right down the mountain. The other part was high up. So we did get it on film and everything. And I was talking about all these rainbows. And so after Henry and I were just both bent over, and it took about an hour and a half or two. And, you know, of course, the road was cleared early, but everybody kind of hung out and talked and chit-chatted and everything and that. And we're sitting there alone, and we decided, okay, that's it. We're going to leave the teepee up, and we're going to have an information center for the boycott campaign. We're not leaving. In a way, we sat there. And then eventually they moved a piece of large pipe in that night. And that night, Tom Pryor also showed up. He was trying to get out, but of course it was all late. And we were like, well, we're going to have to sort of dismantle part of the camp, but we can have an information center to draw attention. And then Mick Gabrowski also showed up and that to help us, because he's also very isolated in the north of Glacier Creek. And he knows how bad the Duncan has been ravaged and that, because no one lives out there after their family. And he's very sympathetic to this happening, you know, that we've got to somehow try to preserve. He's seen some of the most incredible scenes from being there for so long that are no longer, because of all the logging going on and the destruction of with the roads and this and that. Anyways,
when did you find out? Like in the morning?
Well, what happened was that that morning, you know, camp, the spirit was low and that, but we're still making coffee and we had like tons of food, and it's like crepes with huckleberries and this nice. And that. And so two trucks come barreling by, and they're going up, and Tom's all agitated. We almost had to sit on him because he's like, I got to do something. I can't. I'm going to film them. I said, it only makes them nervous or feel worse. And this, anyways, we kept on going, and we just hope. And I remember Henry and I, sitting there when we were alone right after the police and all, and saying, well, we need a miracle and that. And then the next day, you know, we just need a miracle over coffee, and our eyes are looking down. And then all of a sudden, around 1 o'clock or so, one of the road builders had come running down. We got to know them over time, and he just jumped out of his truck, came running over. He had a big grin on his face, and he's laughing. He says, I guess these trees don't want to be logged. And we're all like, what? You know, looking at him, and he says, the rock at the bluffs, a whole slab of rock came down and completely cracked the underneath the, you know, holding up the bridge and moved the bridge over. It was very dangerous, and they're going to have to evacuate the entire valley and da-da-da, and wanted to know if we should get phone someone to help us in that. And we were there, oh no, we're fine, we just went back to our but we were laughing, we were dancing, laughing, screaming for joy. I must have kissed him 50 times over or something. And it was so funny, because in their hearts and soul, they all felt that it shouldn't be logged. So much damage has been done up there that they should leave something for the future. Yeah. They're feeling bad too, and it's getting to them, you know.
Yeah, you're almost like saving them by not having, you
totally.
Know what I mean? Like,
many in privacy told us, not just of the building or the logging, but others, forestry and that, you know, you're doing the right thing. Help us to change it, because it's making us feel sick too, you know.
Yeah, I just, when I saw that I got to work and I saw pictures of it. Someone had faxed it over, and I could not believe it, just seeing the stone. And maybe they're just like, well, it's just delaying us a bit, you know, or whatever.
We thought so at first too.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's an omen, and any omen strikes to the very heart of everything. Like, no person can escape that power
totally.
Of spirit. And so it's an omen, and
yeah.
they have to take it seriously, you know?
Well, the very first discussion they had after they left us, because I appealed to, you know, the future generations and everything, but this man, I said, God help us, as he went by, and I couldn't stop him. But after, up on the hill, they had had a discussion on good and evil and God and everything
Whoa.
Else, so it was the very beginning, and it did add Because they hadn't worked 4 hours when this happened. They hadn't even put in a full day.
Whoa.
And they couldn't themselves, they all shivered, you know, even Pope and Talbot, you know, it was almost like I wouldn't call it a curse or something, but an omen for sure, a definite omen, because it was so uncanny to happen so fast. But like I tell you, that eagle protects the gorge as well, yeah. You know, and I do really truly feel that going out there, being on the road, being where it is happening, is the same like we're seeing today praying over the water, and you change flat, polluted water into this more crystalline, healthier, vibrant water, and how the power of prayer, how powerful it is. Well, I feel being in the forest is equally powerful, and that's why we need a lot of help on all fronts. We need help for the Nkomaplu, for the Westfall. We need people who are willing to come to the front lines to be there in old growth, in this beauty of the Genesis that has been untouched, and to help the caribou, the wolverine, the grizzly. We need all our First Nations to join together and set aside this territory for future generations as a sacred area that should not be touched, but should be there for the legacy of all our children, because as yet none of the land claims have been settled in that, and by the time they're settled, everything will be logged. And if if our people who lived here kept this land for over 50 generations, thousands of years, in such deep respect of the sacred, and in one generation we have cut this ancient growth of the earth, our elders, and in other cultures trees, springs have spirit and soul. You are not the only one, and animals and all of creation, and you never just go and take, you never have the sense of ownership of things or dominance that you're better than, or even you have to manage the earth. And it's like I told a bunch of loggers last year, Sunshine Logging, I said, you know, managing nature is like trying to manage a woman. And I said, have any of you succeeded lately? And they said, no, they were all shuffling in there, you know. So I'm really appealing to and trying to connect all our First Nation. We're going on the road for a massive boycott campaign of cutting old growth. It's right across BC, what's left in Canada, what's left on Earth. Mm-hmm. And people from all over the world are totally interested, and we need to get organized. We need telephone trees when things are going down. There is a meeting tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the Eco Center. We're hoping that the Valhalla will come, and the Eco Center is on Baker. It's right by the bakery,
right above the Kunikoa Bakery.
That's it.
Okay, so let's have a wee break and then come back and cover some of these things coming up. How people can get involved, and
I know I can,
because there's this great sticker, folks. If you're ever in the studios on the microwave, it says "Talk minus action equals a good dinner party." Stay tuned.
You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
You should not have come back
to the Westfall.
Start up the phonograph.
People's in a place to be.
Rob Swift.
This is dope for plastic.
Facebook's going.
This is dope for plastic.
This is
Rob Swift.
me. His name is Rob Swiss. All production and a scratch.
Now tear it up, y'all.
Rob Swift, shooting the gift on the two turntables, making you uplift into a burst of enjoyment. His worker employment is cutting it up and completely destroying it. His hands scratching faster than your eyes can see. Both sides is heat, and even on the SP, he's a hip-hop phenomenon. Word is born, the DJ here to rock it today and beyond.
His name is
Rob Swift.
That is his name.
His name is
Rob Swift.
His name is
Rob Swift.
Don't you know he's the DJ professional rocking the show, 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 show.
This is dope. Party people, this is dope. Party people, a place to be. This is dope for plastic. Party people, this is dope. Party people, this is dope. Party people, a place to be. This is dope for plastic.
Welcome back. This is Fane of the Cosmos. You're listening to Kootenai Co-op Radio 93.5 FM, CJLY. We're broadcasting out of a wee room on the top of a big building in Nelson, British Columbia, and on the worldwide mycelium on www.kootenaicoopradio.com. If you're listening down the Kootenai Lake area, you know who you are. Caslo, Ryan Dell, all down the lake across the ferry there, Grey Creek. You're listening at 96.5 FM. This hour of Fane of the Cosmos is brought to you by El Taco Mexican Restaurant, where if you've got the munchies, nothing else will do. So, part of the whole talk minus action equals a good dinner party is finding out what you can do so you're not in a dinner party situation. I know one thing I'm going to say, just because I know you're not going to say it, but that these people who go up into the woods and go many miles away and keep an eye on things for us in the spirit realms and on these physical realms, they need nourishment at times too. So if you ever see Eloise or Henri or Mick or any of those folks from up the lake, take good care of them. Give them a place to stay, give them some food, give them some herb, give them some tobacco, give them some good loving, because those are important people in our lives, and we gotta nourish their nourishing part of our realms here, our myth realms, you know? They're doing it, you know? Like, support them. If they need a place to rent for the winter, give it to them, you know? Like, come on. No,
especially
Eloise. If you've got a room right now that is beautiful and has a view of the lake and a forested area with moss and a beautiful garden, and you need someone to make sure everything's ticky-boo in the spirit realms, come on. She needs a room for the winter now. Come on. Okay, enough of the
little shop.
Enough of the no. But seriously, take care of those folks. I know you're never going to say that, so I'll put that out there.
Thanks, Dustin. Well, back to the whole sense of standing on the road and how important. And I truly feel that in this day and age now, we don't no longer need the sort of pyramid complex, that we have to go towards the circle, that we no longer need leaders. Again, you never know who's at the top. We need to all share the burden, all are part of it. Even someone who sweeps the floor is an important part. And so we don't need leaders anymore. We just need one another to hold hands. And so I really truly feel that you should be, anybody should be inspired to find where their place is and what, where they can do the most. Because we will have a meeting tomorrow night at the Eco Center on Baker, 7 p.m., bringing together what we're seeing today is a renaissance amongst all the people, because they're fed up. They've had enough. It's just like peace or war. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, obviously, the people of the earth have chosen peace, and certain ones who think they rule the earth choose war. But it's the same with the forest, it's the same with the water, everything that all our life around, and why people came here to sustain themselves, to give a future to their children that's green as well. And so, as whoever can come down or join in whatever aspect, we should be alert in all our areas, whether there's an herbicide truck coming by, get on that telephone tree, call your neighbors, be in contact with the people around you to watch. And if there's heavy duty logging you're feeling, you want to do something about it. A whole group of people should rally with you, and we should be able to get together enough to send people to certain places. And right now, now the Nkomaflu is for sure going to go through winter, but we're hoping to get this boycott campaign organized so that we, international campaign, so that by spring we'll have a lot of momentum, a lot of international mm-hmm. people. And then the Westfall is the other sensitive area where we are hoping to open up an information booth very soon for the Westfall to bring attention to the mountain caribou and the devastation that has gone on there to the world. Because a government that approves of this, through the Ministry of Forests, approves of this kind of cutting, it is absurd. Like, things must change, you know. It's like if the law no longer suits, it has to change. Everything has to change and become more humane. So we do have a concert coming up. It's an evening for the Incomparable in Nkomaflu, and it's a Dana Lyons in concert September 20th at 7:30 p.m. at Charlotte's. And
I've heard rave reviews about this guy.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Totally. Like, I hear his lyrics and his musicianship is beautiful.
Well, it's going for a good cause, mm-hmm. you know. And we ran up $1,600 in expense with the lawyers. And Tom has offered to
pray.
Something. And Tom Pryor, and so we're hoping that we can raise the money ourselves so it doesn't fall on one person,
yeah.
because he's put out a lot as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, these are people to support the Eco Society too, like,
yeah.
crucial.
Absolutely.
They've paid a lot of legal stuff this year too, so.
Oh, the turtles, and what we're seeing now is some of the successes. We've all hung on for years. We're seeing a renaissance, more people coming in.
Yeah.
And it's so little to join, as well as the Valhalla Society. Each one fulfills a different function. The most important is that we all hold together. And we don't give up. We don't give up on our woods, our trees. It's extremely important. And I think as well, we have to realize that the jumbo is still around the corner. It hasn't gone through yet, but it's waiting. Apparently, people have been flying up there to, you know, check for investments and so on. And then there's hydro dams that
will be going out. This is crucial. People, pay attention. This is very crucial. They want to start putting hydropower in these areas. We're not logging it. We're just producing some hydropower. We have a friend down south. His name's America. We want to sell him some nice, clean electricity. But guess how they're going to get the electricity down there? They're going to have to put some power lines up, eh? And those power lines are going to go through the Jumbo Pass so they can get to Invermere, because Invermere is where the grid is, where you can hook up and hook up to all these great markets all over the place. But that's their little in. Once they put a road in and a skidder thing to put in some power poles, then you're off to the races. And who pays for that? We do. Because we're building industry. A clean industry. You know, like all this bullshit. Like those investors should know that they've got to take into account the people. They got to take into account us, that they're not going to make their profits by putting, you know, I think one was 7K long, a 7K section with a big tube on it with redirecting, a 7 creek redirection. I mean, 7K redirection.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Like, we'll take the water from up here and then we'll just put it through some turbines and just dump it down here. There's nothing to it. It's clean. It's not producing any, but you know, that water's being redirected. It was never meant to go there. You know, it was never meant to be heated up or changed or put through tubes or anything. It was just meant to just flow down. But that's the folks, that's what's going on up there. Like, they're trying to put in these mini power projects. You know, like, we've seen how unstable the ground is up there, and we've seen, you know, the beauty of it. And I think this is just one of those, like, where they're just going to try and get in there because there's so much money to be made from hydroelectricity. But they haven't taken into account the people. Maybe we don't want power lines through pristine wilderness. You know, like, I don't know, when I heard that, I went up to the Argenta Fall Fair and talked with folks up there, and it's so good to have good people like Mick and Gary and different folks up there scoping it out and really knowing what's going on, you know? Like,
it's vital. It's vital we stay in contact with one another, mm-hmm. and that we can, convoy down if anything's happening. We have to network. We have to be in contact because many of us are in isolated places, mm-hmm. are kind of separate, and it's very important that we come together, we unite. It's the strongest thing we can do. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you think of the micro hydros, just think of it as a consciousness that is repetitive. Before that, it's like they've logged so much of the creeks and everything all around, and so before that they mined everything to death as much as they could, destroyed whatever of the land, burned it to see the veins. It's a consciousness of seeing the earth as a resource. In most traditions, one sees it as their sacred mother, and that is her body. And you do not, you know, you do not
take
molest
more than
your
she gives. You never take more than she gives.
You cannot treat your mother's body that way, mm-hmm. and it is not for us to take. You never go anywhere without asking, mm-hmm. without you subjecting, praying, waiting for a response from something that is alien to you, that you can be sensitive enough to listen to nature, because in the end nature will teach us. You know, this is not because we're just trying to preserve these for showcases. This is the last fragments of the seeds of life left on Earth. And at the rate the seeds are going, and Monsanto with all its cross-pollination, and the change in our atmosphere and our climate in Louisiana, this is an ongoing thing that will repeat itself. And it will teach us that Mother Nature is greater than anything that we are, and we have so made her suffer that this is all she can do now to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
We must protect the seed of the earth. There's nothing more important right now. And all those who speak up, the earth will hear your voice. The more we are, the greater it will be heard. And the greatest of all is to be able to hold hands with our loggers so that we can have loggers forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That should be respected.
Like absolutely.
One of the spiritual occupations, you know? Like...
So I think with a little bit of humility, humility has the same root as humus, and which is again that topsoil, that layer that so nourishes the trees in the earth that we should not disturb with roads. And you know, because it's not only loggers, it's the road builders, it's everything, you know.
It's our and spirits. Like,
that's it.
Like these are physical realms, but with... the spiritual essence, like the life force, so intact, so energizing and pure and sacred. It's held in these trees, at these, you know, with these mountains and these springs and moss, and it's held there for us.
Yeah.
We lose grasp of that. We lose grasp of that realm, that... where our beings can be pure and...
That's right.
Pure expression.
Well, it's such a fragile, you know, place. And it's all holding together from, you know, everything that has grown there for thousands of years that hasn't been touched. And I feel when I go into this, like the old growth forest, is where I can really feel peace, at peace. You know, and I can't imagine what all of this place used to be like way before it was so ravaged. If we can just hold on to, you know, these temples, and there are such diversity of spruce, hemlock, all the forest that maintains all the animals, the fish, the life, you know.
They're like the blessings from heaven, you know? From on high, the waters pour down and the winds blow and...
Absolutely, our source of life. And so between now and winter, and hopefully we can do something soon in the West Ball, please stay tuned. And don't be shy. Come and take your holiday... standing there for old growth in whichever way. There's many things we can do where we so love nature. It's not hard, you know.
And so now, if that is the road open for people, if they can, like, can they get up there now?
Not to like beat.
They can walk. Hike
it's
from
so
the bridge.
Far to get in. It's so much.
Mountain bike.
It's better to. They could
dirt
bike in. You can come in like before 7:30 in the morning or after 7:30. They have to have it open for some of the local people there.
Okay.
And you can walk over the bridge, but you can't. Like it's at your own risk to drive over it.
Yeah.
And there still is the youth hospital that is run by Patrick.
Okay.
And it's open, and you can call him at mountainhospitalithink.com.
All right.
And he can give you the exact what's going on, because they're fixing the top part of the road, and the bottom part is where the bridge is. They haven't even gotten to that yet, because
mm-hmm.
it's like a very narrow canyon that you come down. And because of the years of logging trucks, they have completely compromised that road. Like, you know, it's there's places where the logging truck tires would be in the air. In the air. That part of the road had eroded right off.
Wow.
It's like I say, it's really, I'm worried about people's safety. These roads, these types of trucks.
Okay, so should we tell people to go up there or no?
Well, I think it's better to...
Where, is there any, like, Yeah, is there any place up there that, like, is the West Fall? Can you get up there?
The West Fall is even more so right now, more compromised.
Oh, okay.
And it's you go north of Caslow, and there's a bridge that crosses over towards Argenta. If you turn right, you go towards Argenta. If you turn left, you go up the Duncan.
Okay.
And the logging is at 100 and some odd kilometers, which is quite up there.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that they've moved in some sort of camp in a way, not knowing if it'll be up in winter because apparently it snows a lot up there.
Yeah.
So we don't know for sure right now. We're just trying to get people together because there has been so much danger in the Duncan and difficulties with logging trucks becoming weapons, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we have to make sure that we have a lot of people from all walks of life and that we truly have a peace camp, and they know it, and they respect it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to make sure that, and we need our First Nations to be alongside us as well. And we have to make sure it's going to be completely safe.
Okay. Well, it's been great having you in the studio.
Thank you.
I'm just like... Yeah, like I started my first activist days in the Carmana and the Walbrand on the island, and yeah, so that was where I first kind of sprouted. So
I call myself a pacifist. They're calling terrorist activists, and I never bear weapons. It's my religion, if you want, whatever that is. But I will never carry a weapon, and so I consider myself a pacifist, and I really think it's important we bring that word forward now in this day and age.
Yeah.
So I totally appreciate coming here and talking to all the people out there and telling them it's incredible how our prayers, our thoughts, our behavior, our actions can move, our faith can move mountains, and we have to believe, and we must never give up. And may some of the people of older age, young age, all ages participate, because I think that's one of the most special thing that we can be renowned, we are renowned for, our great love of nature, not to mention our love of smoking
ganja.
Marijuana.
Really?
Yeah, I know. So
it's all tied in together.
Let's put our faith forward on the road and stand for the land.
Mm-hmm. Blessings.
Thank you. Thank you a million times over, Dustin, for all your love. And
thank you.
Kindness.
Bye,
and
guy. Yeah.
Everything over the years.
Woo-wee. I'll be hugging you soon.
Alrighty.
Okay, we're going to take a break. This is Henry Rollins, and this kind of fits in with the whole New Orleans thing.
Circling me going, so I used to be one of those guys, well, I should have that fucking car. Get the fuck out of that car and give it to me. That should be mine. Now I'm someone with a garage going, don't take my shit, okay? Please? It's weird to be on the other side of it. I don't know. These are the things I think about. And another thing, why do you name a weather pattern that is like fucking up the world? Why do you name it El Nino? The boy, like a five-year-old. A little five-year-old is putting California probably where it should be, like into the sea. Bye, bye-bye. Just melt away. Goodbye. Why would you call it El Nino? I think we should call it the motherfucker. And let that be the thing that the weathermen say. If you were thinking of going out this weekend, the motherfucker will be bringing 4 to 6 inches of rain to the valley. Life hasn't been the same since the motherfucker took my house away. Goddamn you, motherfucker, I worked for that thing for 17 years. You know? Yeah, the motherfucker. And have like guys like Dan Rather, really straight-faced Ted Koppel, you know. Ravages of the motherfucker will be hitting the Midwest this summer. Californians can expect 4 to 6 inches of rain when they used to get 1.3 inches of rain until at least March or April. God damn that motherfucker. Or maybe you could call it the first four Black Sabbath albums. The first four Black Sabbath albums have wiped out San Diego. That would totally work for me. They've wiped me out on many occasions. So, these are just, you know, you...
When 900 years old you reach, look as good you will not.
Pointless to resist.
When 900 years old you reach, look as good you will not.
Pointless to resist. Pointless to resist. Pointless to resist. Or cooking
with LaRue. Fast recipes for limited budgets with Chef Johnny LaRue.
Welcome back. This is Fane of the Cosmos, Infinite Moment. You know what? I really have to pee so bad that... Eloise, can you come and just hold the mic here just for a second? I have to go to the bathroom really bad. So while I'm gone, just say whatever you like. I'll be right back.
Oh. Oh, I see. Well, it's everything that nature is, that bounty that it gives to us. I weave baskets. I make sunscreen from tree saps. I heal with medicine from trees, plants. There is so much in nature, so much that it is there for us that we're not seeing. And when we cut the forests and just think in terms of boards and floor and furniture and house, we're missing a lot of what trees can truly provide. I can make as much in baskets as anybody can get in boards. And we're losing that industry. There are many secondary industries around our tree that are being neglected. And if we develop them, we could really have an incredible way of life here. It's important for us to start to see our many traditions and follow their ways. And when a tree either comes down or falls down or however it happens, we utilize every part of it. And the same go for all the plants. We can't keep cutting roads through the forest. It doesn't work. Because you cut a mountain is like cutting a tree. If you peel right around it, the tree will die. If you pull a strip like in a culturally modified tree, the tree will live after that. So avalanches, which are like a strip down the mountain, are a much healthier way of cutting than compared to making roads that go around a mountain and stop that percolation effect of the water coming down.
Okay, I'm back. Woo! My teeth were floating. What have you been telling them now?
All about the trees and the forests and the medicines and the fairies and the frogs.
Me dig that. Total. Sweet.